tonight I've got a short message, a couple of pages long, but got a fairly big Bible reading. So tonight I want you to open your Bibles, please, to Matthew, the book of Matthew. And we're going to have a look at Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 to 30. So 16 down to 30. So 14 or something verses. Anyhow, Matthew 19, 16 to 30 reads this. And behold, one came and said unto him, talking to Jesus, remember, the rich young ruler, he says, behold, one came and said unto him, good master, good master. He knew he was a good master. What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Now look what the rich ruler said. He saith to him, which? Jesus saying, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honour thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. Listen what the young man said. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. He kept the law. Did he? Nobody could do it. But he said he did. You see, he's got a pride thing. All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Ah, Jesus knew. He's got something. Verse 21. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He's a very rich person, you see. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. It means it's hard for them to enter into the kingdom of heaven, all right? And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Notice kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God are equated there too, by the way. Verse 25, when his disciples heard it, they were exceeding amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter, he's got to have a say, you see. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that has forsaken house, he's talking to the apostles there. There's only 12 of them, you see. But listen here. Then he talks about us. He says, and everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and last shall be first. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us get some instruction from this for us tonight. Hey, thank you, Lord, for your word, and thank you for this example, Lord, of the rich young ruler who came running up to you, Lord, with bags and bags of money, and yet Jesus sent him away. And we know, Lord, that in today's church society, if somebody come running up to most of the church pastors today, Lord, they just welcome him in the congregation, and just regard for his money, and not for his soul, Lord. So we do pray tonight, as we consider this portion of scripture, Lord, and who is it that can be saved? And what is there in it for us, Lord? That's what we want to find out tonight, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would answer these questions for us and give us wisdom as we contemplate it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I call my message tonight, what do I get out of it? What do I get out of being a Christian? What's in it for me? All right, here we go. It is an amazing privilege to be saved from the penalty of our sins. But at some time during our Christian journey, we might have been asked the question by someone who we are witnessing to, if I become a Christian, what do I get out of it? The person is trying to consider what benefit is there for them if they were to believe what it is that we are telling them about believing the gospel and being saved. They want to know, what's in it for me, you see? If you have experience, they've got to give stuff up, haven't they? They know that straight away, eh? You haven't told them they've got to stop drinking or smoking or chasing the ladies or doing this sort of thing. they know in their heart already, without you even mentioning that, what's in it for me. If you have experienced that at some time, you might begin to think that such a question reveals an attitude of selfishness in the person you are witnessing to. But notice in verse 27 of tonight's scripture reading that Peter actually does ask that question of the Lord. The question came from Peter immediately after Jesus taught the disciples about the difficulty and in fact the improbability of a rich man being able to enter into heaven. The disciples didn't have much material wealth, so maybe they were wondering, what is the benefit for us in committing our lives to Christ and faithfully following him? You might remember that Job asked much the same question when he saw the wicked being blessed with health, wealth and happiness, and yet he, the man who faithfully followed God and who stood against evil, was the one enduring all the suffering. In Job 21:15, Job asks his counselors, what is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him? What good is it serving God? What's in it for me, all right? So it's not all that uncommon for people to ask, what's in it for me? Amen? Even among Bible-believing Christians. Maybe we've even asked it ourselves at some time since we got saved. Why am I doing this? What's in it for me? In response to Peter's question, however, Jesus indicated to the disciples that their reward for faithfully and sacrificially following him would come at some future time. And that reward would be something amazing that would actually take place here on this present earth, not in heaven, here. In verse 28, Jesus specified to his followers that their reward for service in this life would not occur until the regeneration. Verse 28 and 29 read, and Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel, talking to the apostle. Then he talks about you and me, all right? And everyone that hath forsaken house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. In other words, the disciples' reward takes place in the regeneration, in the coming millennial kingdom, when the King, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of David, takes his seat upon David's throne in the millennial temple. Amen? Hey, that millennial temple isn't the one that the Jews are going to build during the tribulation either. It gets destroyed. That's the Antichrist's temple, alright? Notice the wording in verse 28, where Jesus states that the regeneration takes place when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory. So we see that all this takes place when Jesus returns to this earth, after the Great Tribulation, where we've been up there with him, and he assumes his rightful place on David's throne in Jerusalem to reign over the whole world. What must have gone through the minds of the disciples when they heard this teaching? And then they remembered Jesus' answer to Peter's question of, what shall we have therefore, we who have forsaken all and followed thee? What's in it for me? What must they have thought when they saw the Lord's program for the body of Christ unfolding before their eyes in the early days of the church age? As I said, maybe you've had similar questions to that of Job. Who or what is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him? What's in it for me? As the New Testament age of the church unfolds before us, we discover that our role in the future coming earthly kingdom is something truly remarkable, even though we don't fully comprehend everything about it. Nevertheless, the one thing we do understand, is that it will be a great honour and privilege for us when we live and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ for that 1,000 years when the regeneration takes place and the millennium begins. We certainly won't be asking in those days which are not too far away, if we take note of the signs that Jesus tells us to. He says, watch and pray, and you won't be caught unawares, all right? We won't be asking those questions in those days. What do I get out of faithfully serving Jesus? What profit or benefit is there in it for me? Maybe we'll be too overwhelmed with the knowledge that we who deserve nothing from the Lord now have eternal life. Amen? And we are in the presence of him forever. Think about that. You know, we've got eternal life now. This body hasn't. But we have, all right? We need to grasp that. This body's going to go back to the dust. Everybody's is. Nobody's going to escape that. Alright? It's going to go back to dust. But we get an eternal body. And we have eternal life now. When we got saved, we got eternal life. What do we get out of it? Ephesians 2, you can turn to this please, and we're going to close with this. Ephesians 2, verses 4 to 7, sufficiently answers that question for us. What do we get out of it? Alright, Ephesians 2, verses 4 to 7, we are told that God who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. He's made us alive together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Now, that's a scripture there that also refutes anything against the pre-tribulation rapture. God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ. He's made us alive with Christ. We're not going to be here for the tribulation to be destroyed, my friends. Okay? When that comes upon the whole world, we won't be here for that. By grace are you saved, and he has raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Positionally, we are seated in heavenly places. Amen? Hey, I don't know about you, but that's good enough for me. I don't think I'll be asking, what's in it for me? I know what's in it for me. Eternal life. Amen? And we're told that eternal life is going to be something great. Amen? Hey, we don't have to fear death anymore. You know, when you get saved, the Lord, not immediately, and young people have got a little bit more difficulty, but as you get older, the fear of death, it dissipates, eh? It dissipates. You're not so frightened of it, alright? You're not so scared of this thing called death. We all got to die. All go in the rapture, whichever way. But this body's got to go. It's got to go. Everything wears out, you know? You've got to get the doctors patching everything up all the time. Well, it's got to die. It's got to go. So, what are we going to get? We're going to get eternal life and we'll be with the Lord forever. And all these things that we worry about here today are going to be nothing.
Yes, exactly.
Nothing. Nothing. So, let's pray. Hey, is that all right? You like that message?
Yeah.
Encouraging? Yeah. What's in it for me? Lots of stuff, eh? Lots of stuff, eh? Thank you, Lord, for reminding us tonight, Lord, that there's much in every way in this Christian life for us, Lord. And as Job asked, who is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what benefit do we get from serving you, Lord? And we know we have been saved, Lord, and walking with you for any length of time. Know all of the marvellous blessings, Lord, that you pour out and bestow upon us. So we thank you, Lord, for the encouragement from your word tonight. Help us, Lord, as we go further into this week, Lord, to make sure that we walk truly with you ourselves, Lord, and not be a stumbling block to any person, Lord, and that we would shine a light, Lord. And bless our church, Lord. Bless our church. Keep your hand of preservation upon us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.